Welcome, everybody, to the Hammer and Rails podcast. With you, as always, I'm your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Casey Bartley.
And we are back after a week off. It was my son's birthday.
Happy birthday,
Q! He turned two. We just really couldn't find a time to record. So we figure, hey, it's the summer. You guys get this content for free, so you can just have a week off. We granted you that, you know, my son's birthday and a holiday. So I figure it's just a nice little gift. You know, you don't have to be stressed about anything that's going on in the Purdue basketball or football world, because we're going to make up for that today.
And I had a lot to do last week, too.
Yes, yes. Casey, always a busy man. Over in the Carolinas.
I golfed every day last week. It was glorious.
Yeah, and why were you able to do that?
Because I switched jobs and my job told me to go home. They can't trust me anymore.
Well, they really should have known that from the start, mm-hmm. but good for you.
Competitive. Now I got the competitor all over me.
Yeah, so we are going to take a look at the basketball transfer market in the latter half of the podcast. Today I'm going to start out with a more lighthearted question for you, Casey, but it is sports related this time. I know we've gone movies the last couple episodes, but this one is all about sports. Are you ready?
Yeah, I didn't really bring it with the Marvel stuff, so
yeah, that's all right. That's all right. So every day on Twitter, there's some weird sports discourse that just people feel the need to, like, jump in and weigh in, give just, like, ridiculous opinions. I mean, you feel that's correct?
Yeah. It's the worst of all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Twitter, in all honesty, a bit of a hell site. None of us should really be on there. Mm-mm. But yet here we are talking about it because it's a good way for us to just kind of gin up topics. Well, the other day, someone posted on Twitter that if you're over the age of 30, you should no longer wear a jersey of any kind to a sporting event. And I wanted to know what your opinion on that was. I have my own opinion. And if you need time to think, I'm more than willing to go first.
I don't particularly care about the age. I think, first of all, you shouldn't wear a jersey unless you're going to a game. Once you're out of, let's say, college, and that's being generous.
You mean like you shouldn't just wear one like on a Tuesday,
correct,
when you're just hanging out?
Yeah, it should not be part of the wardrobe. It should be a special occasion. I'm going to a game.
Gotcha.
That's my personal. I don't think I own any more jerseys. I don't think I've owned one in a long time. I think the last one I had was probably a Drew Brees Pro Bowl jersey.
Okay.
So yes, on the face value, I believe that you should not wear it anywhere else but a game. Are you pro jersey?
Yeah, I'm pro. I mean, the comment though was that he said if you're over 30, you shouldn't wear it even to a game.
Oh no, yeah, that's. And no, I'm like, you should be able to wear it to the game. This is the one place where it makes sense.
Exactly. Okay.
Like, not everyone can wear quarter zips, buddy.
Guy. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Guy. And I bet he has a well-groomed beard. I bet it's.
I was trying to find the tweet. I think I was trying to find the tweet to see if I could pull up who the guy who said it actually was.
He probably just recently stopped spiking just the front of his hair.
Yes.
Like, that's the guy who's saying that. Like, now he's grown up.
To me, the thing is, like you said, it's one of the only times where wearing a jersey is acceptable to me. But I have, I think, three jerseys up in my room. Here's my rule with jersey. It's a general rule of thumb. I never get a jersey of a current player.
Okay.
Because with the way teams trade players and players, you know, leave your favorite team, you don't want to have that jersey, in my opinion.
Okay.
So I always get players who have retired. And I can always look back fondly on their time with my team. So
so you bought a Brady jersey and had to return it this summer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'll just buy it again next year when he retires again. So I have a Mike Allstott throwback.
I would have guessed this. Which
Buccaneers
Tampa?
Jersey? The throwback orange.
Ugly orange? And by ugly orange, I mean gorgeous.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is the gorgeous orange jersey. Okay. And then I have a Chris Sabo Cincinnati Reds jersey, which
weird,
is just the white jersey with, like, the wishbone C. So that's what I have. I also, when I worked in the athletic department at Purdue, one of the things they gave us when we left was they're like, here's this table of stuff. Grab whatever you want. So I took a gold Etuan Moore jersey.
Nice.
So
nice.
I've got that up there as well. But I believe those are the only ones I have.
Yeah, I don't own a jersey. The thing about jerseys are they make a lot of sense for sporting events because you're either, if you're outside, they are generally big enough to be worn over clothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you need to be warmer.
And we know, as if you're a listener of this podcast, you know that Casey has a problem mm-hmm. being outside in the cold.
Correct. And like if you're inside, I think basketball jerseys are aesthetically usually the best looking besides hockey stuff.
Yeah, hockey jerseys are very good. I'm not a huge hockey fan hockey myself, person. But they are good looking jerseys. My problem with basketball jerseys is you always like. I mean, the majority of people really should wear a shirt underneath the basketball jersey. You know what I mean?
You know who shouldn't? Any basketball player.
Yeah.
If you're going to, it's got to be like tight fitting Under Armour stuff. It cannot. Yeah. Sasha. nothing on court disappointed me more than you breaking out the bag. Etuan Moore did it too, some.
Yeah. Well, Keaton Grant did it as well from time to time. But it is one of those things. You see a guy out there in a jersey with, like, a baggy T-shirt on under it.
They give them clothing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, to me, there's nothing that makes a player look less intimidating than, like, he pulled out his, like, camp shirt and put it on under his jersey. You're like, and what is that guy doing?
Yeah, it's weird because no one's ever played more. I think Etuan Moore would have been a first-round draft pick. If he didn't wear the loose shirts.
Yeah, it's, I'm sure that
because he played like he dominated, dropped 30 pieces, looked incredible, but you wear that shirt and like, oh, that, I guess that's a smart player. He's
he looks like a solid guy you find at the rec league who's like in his 40s. Right. And you're like, maybe he used to play. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the idea that you can police what a sports fan wears to the game like that.
What
is just
stupid. Like, I don't understand what proper attire is then.
Right, exactly. Like, am I supposed to wear khakis and like a button up? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Because they're all outrageous, like for the most part, unless you're dressing. Like all the good fans are crazy. That's the whole point.
Yeah, no one is. You don't get to be like a memorable fan if you're just sitting there and clapping politely.
Yeah, like if you walk into an arena and like if you walked into like a college arena and just saw no one wearing a jersey, like, oh, this must be an Ohio State game.
Do Ohio State fans
basketball?
Not wear
they're awful. It's the worst arena. Okay. Just the worst.
I've never been to their arena, but it does look very cold and like
it's,
uninviting.
It's awful. It's the arena's fine. The fans suck. They don't care.
Well, yeah, yeah.
So I don't understand. There are no normal rules to attending a game. This is it's sport. It's a giant event. It's supposed to be crazy and unhinged and
It's like it's a way to blow off steam.
Yeah. Like you wear face paint and hair color and like who is this guy a fan of?
Yeah, I don't know. It just blew my mind. So one final question on this topic: where do you come down on jerseys?
Just commit. Like just for get those, the jersey.
For those that don't know, a jersey is a shirt jersey. It's basically a T-shirt that's meant to look like a jersey, but I hate them. I think they're stupid.
I actually did like the long sleeve jerseys NBA had for a little while.
Oh, ugh.
I get it, but I'm always someone that liked that little sleeve up there. So
I mean, I guess I'm sure they have their place. They're just not for me. But there we go. Wear whatever you want to a sporting event. Don't let some internet tough guy bully you out of wearing your favorite jersey. You know, what else are you doing with it? You spent good money on those things. Jerseys aren't cheap.
Yeah, they're way expensive.
Yeah. So, you know, wear it as much as you want. Wear it as a nightshirt for all I care. But when you're going to a game, dress whatever, however you feel comfortable and just, you know, enjoy your day.
Yeah. Purdue jerseys everywhere. Let's go.
Exactly. All right. We'll be back right after some words from our sponsor. And we are back. So, as promised, we're going to talk a little bit about the transfer portal for the men's basketball team. It's been a bit of a rough go. If you followed anything that's going on with recruiting.
Ledman,
and
I have a list.
Oh, okay. Wait, hold on. I got to get you a setup first, and then you can go down the list. So, you know, with Isaiah Thompson and Eric Hunter Jr. both leaving the program, Purdue is obviously in need of a point guard. We have Braden Smith coming in as a true freshman point guard. We could kind of lean on maybe Ethan Morton. Maybe another guard on the team could step up and play a little point, but Purdue needs a point guard for next season. And the hope was, and I guess still remains, that they would enter the transfer portal, find somebody to come in and ink ink on the dotted line with the Boilermakers. So, Casey...
Is that lawyer speak?
It was a very, very bungled situation there. But, Casey, you said you have a list. What is on this list?
Top 75 college basketball transfers. That's a big list, right?
Okay, let's not talk about all of them.
We're not going to talk about all of them.
Okay.
But right. Kendrick Davis, SMU, went to Memphis. Nigel Pack, remember him? We liked him.
Yes.
Kansas State went to Miami.
Darius Hunter. $800,000 in a Mazda Miata or something like that.
No,
right?
Not a Mazda. Honda.
Yeah, Honda Accord. Honda Accord. Maybe an Accord. They go top level.
Tyrese Hunter, Iowa State, the most recent news, I believe. We had high hopes for him after we had no one else to want. Texas.
Yeah.
Malachi Smith, Chattanooga guy, looked pretty good. Gonzaga. All of a sudden, I'm looking at this list, Ledman, and I'm 15 down. I'm 20 down. They all have second schools.
Yeah.
I'm still down. We're still scrolling. Oh, there's a forward, Ben Vanderplas.
Need a forward.
Nope, he went to Virginia. They're all gone, Ledman.
Yeah.
The point I'm making is they're all gone. There's a guy. I saw one person down here at the end of this bottom of this list.
As in all the way like 74, 75.
It goes even further than that, Ledman. I lied. It's at top 75. Geez. It goes down.
Oh.
Yeah. The point is. David Jenkins Jr., 6'2", 195, senior from Utah, 8.5 points a game, 40% three-point shooter. Strong guard who can get to the basket and finish, but you have to guard him on the three-point line. Shoots it extremely well from beyond the arc. I'm in. Let's go. David Jenkins Jr., come down. Indiana is pretty much Utah without mountains, baby.
Is this guy actually available, or are you about to pull the rug out from under me?
I see one school.
Okay.
Only one school.
So before we started recording, we mentioned – you know, we have a little group chat. We said we were going to talk about this, and it made me think of all the players that have signed as grad transfers under Matt Painter. Of course, it's been a relatively, you know, new phenomenon with the transfer portal, but grad transfers are a similar kind of player because, you know, they go at the end of the season and everybody kind of knows they're looking for a new school. So you can kind of compare the two situations. So I went and looked at players who had committed to Painter under that prior system and when they committed. So there's going to be some names here. Hopefully you'll all recognize. Back in 2013, Sterling Carter committed to Purdue. He came from the University of Seattle. He committed in June. On June 4th.
I saw a lot of Purdue games that time. He was pretty good.
He was.
I think he wrecked his ACL towards the end of the season on a fast break.
I can't remember. That does ring a bell, though. John Octius, the very
really
next
liked
year.
Him.
2014, he had an odd situation. He actually committed to Purdue in October of 2014, so just before the season started. I remember it being a very strange situation, and of course, he ended up being a really, really good addition for Purdue, someone that we really, really got a lot out of and would love to have another player like him on the team.
Oh, he would be a perfect addition to this team.
Oh, yeah.
That would be
yeah.
the number one archetype of what you could ask for.
Oh, yeah.
John Octius.
And plus, I know some folks in IU who need a new baptism.
Ooh.
We've
given them like five.
Yeah. Then we've got Evan Boudreau. He committed in March of 2018. So,
still a little unsure why that was necessary.
He hasn't even
signed an NIL deal. Like, why is there not a Boudreau boiler right now?
Yeah. Well, his family does have quite a bit of money, but I don't know if maybe he's going to give that to Michigan, maybe.
What? Did he go to Michigan?
Or no, sorry. Who am I? I'm thinking of
Princeton?
The other. No. He's from the Ivy League. Who was the guy we got from Michigan?
Oh, Spike Albrecht?
Spike Albrecht. There we go.
Wow. You didn't even think about him, did you?
No, I didn't when I was looking up my list here. And I'm just going to Google it as we talk here. But the other one, Jihad Proctor. He came and he committed in April. So April 2019. So
we are 2 months past that.
Yeah. And Spike Albrecht, he committed as a grad transfer to Purdue in May of 2016. So the latest of these commitments of these five players was John Octius, and that was in October. And that was such a strange situation that I don't think it's something we can hope to replicate. So, I mean, Casey,
there's
at this
no one
point,
left.
Well, regardless of who is left, I mean, I know the deadline to withdraw from the NBA draft has come and gone. The deadline to put your name in the transfer portal has come and gone. So everybody who is available is known at this point. I mean, no one is going to come in to the transfer portal for next year at this point. There can always be some weird NCAA like grant of a waiver, but that is extremely unlikely and it's not something you can count on. So given that we are sitting here now recording on June 5th, I mean, has the ship sailed for Purdue adding a point guard?
Yeah, she gone. She gone into the harbor. She looking pretty real far away. Bye, Eric Hunter. I mean, that was, I guess that we both talked how complicated that was on and off the court, but I guess that's the misfire, right?
Not keeping Hunter, you mean?
Yeah, just promise him the keys.
I guess. And now he's down the road in Indy.
I don't know what. It's weird. The NIL thing really screwed us. The timing of it was awful.
Yeah.
Because
the lack of procedures and the lack of rules on how it should be done, I think, was the real issue.
That combined with Jaden Ivey being a lottery pick year two, because that wasn't a for sure thing when he was coming in.
No, absolutely.
So
not.
You have to think. Initial A plan was this would be Ivy's team his junior year as well.
Yeah.
It'd be a pretty good team with Jaden Ivey on it.
Yeah. Yeah, take him, you know, you figure maybe he'd go the Carson Edwards route.
Yeah, you figured this team sets up pretty well for a ball-dominant lead guard.
Yeah.
Which he was stepping into with a little bit of freshman help behind and maybe a transfer. Now, I mean, then the pivot obviously became, I don't think it was Eric Hunter, but the pivot was, okay, well, we're doing, I think Nigel Pack was the pivot.
Yeah, I mean, he was without a doubt the number one target for Painter and the staff.
And you got to think he showed interest in us.
Yeah, I mean, he came to visit Purdue. We were the first place he visited, and everyone thought it was down to us and Miami. And ultimately, that's, you know, what it came down to. Ohio State came in there to try to make a case, but everything you read online says it was Purdue and Miami, and maybe even that Purdue was a better fit in who they had in mind initially. But when you throw $800,000 at a kid, how are you going to turn that down? And obviously we're upset he didn't come to Purdue, but he made the right decision.
Right.
$800,000? Come on.
And I guess the only thing you can really argue, you can't plan these things out. Like, you can't. It's not, you're not making dinner the night of and you get to just run to Walmart and grab what you're missing.
Yeah.
There's a reason we're guard heavy next year in recruiting, and it's because Jaden Ivey is supposed to be here, maybe a transfer, whatever. It was supposed to be a Braden Smith transition into two pretty good ball dominant guards next year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure when Painter was recruiting a guy like Braden Smith, he really likes what he saw in him, but not
great
so
backup
much
to Ivey.
Exactly. Not that you would throw him in for 25, 30 plus minutes a game his freshman year. You never, never want to be relying on a freshman point guard in the Big Ten unless he's some, you know, top 10, top 15 recruit.
Yeah, I'm sure the plan was Jaden Ivey lead guard, Ethan Morton ball handling, and Braden Smith come in and give us some minutes. And that's a decent squad. That's a good plan. And I just don't – there's like – there's foresight, but there's no way you're not going to get a good enough player 2 years ago that can start, you know, his first season this season when the plan would be him not starting. And that's kind of the issue.
To me, that's what I think people don't really understand about recruiting at the vast majority of Division I basketball schools. You know, Duke, Gonzaga, North Carolina, they can pluck whoever they want out of the portal. They can get grad transfers, but they're also getting very, very highly ranked recruits. Purdue gets pretty damn high ranked recruits too, but we're not getting the top 10, top 15. So for Painter and Purdue, it's a lot more of a meticulous process trying to figure out where the pieces are going to be in 2 years. You know, when you look at a guy like Jaden Ivey, like you said, you think he's going to be here for 3 years. You maybe say to yourself, I know I'm not going to get him for four. I'm going to have him for three. So therefore, when I start recruiting for the class, you know, the year for his last year, like you said, I need to get a guy like Braden Smith to lead him into the program, allow him to get his feet wet so that when Ivy leaves, Smith can be a guy who's played a bit, who's been put in pressure situations, and now I can trust to be my lead guard his second season. But now all that's out the window. So one piece leaving early can really change the entire complexion of your recruiting process.
So, Ledman.
Yeah.
Did we screw up not offering Rob Phinisee?
You know my opinion. I said this. I said I want him. I said I wanted him.
I think you're right.
The moment that
I think you were right.
He put his name in the portal, not because I think he's going to solve all our problems and not because I think he's, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread, but he plays good defense. He hustles. He grew up in Lafayette.
And he's a Big Ten guard.
And he's a Big Ten guard. Didn't have a ton of success in his time at IU. I don't think you can put all that on him. He's an incredibly talented guy. You saw what he did when Purdue went into Bloomington this year, had probably the best game of his career. And if we could get even half of that from him in a grad transfer year at Purdue, I think it's worth it. The question would be, going from playing as an IU player to a Purdue player, I think would be really tough. You may only have to face it, you know, twice a year because that's how often the teams play, but it would just be such a chain. You know, it's a little different than, well, it's a lot different than from when Spike Albrecht went from Michigan to Purdue. So I think that would have been tough, but I think he's a guy that you would have liked to have on your team. He seems like a good teammate, and I think he would have added something to Purdue. And because we wanted a more high-profile guard, now he's off the table. I don't even know where he ended up.
Cincinnati.
Oh, so he's not going to do anything then.
Yeah, probably. I wasn't excited about it. I didn't think he was a high ceiling transfer. Turns out we should have been more worried about our floor.
Well, and I guess
I don't
also
know
I
if
should...
we have enough ball handling just to get through a game. I don't know if we do. I don't think you can say about anyone on the team that would help. None of their strengths is ball handling.
No, I can't. I mean, I know you and I are both high on Ethan Morton and Point Morton, but I mean, he's not like an exquisite ball handler. He's not going to, you know, break any ankles with the ball in his hands. He's just a guy, I think, who is going to be steady and who we can trust to, you know, make the right pass, make the right decision. But he's not going to be like Chris Paul out there.
No. And I mean, we don't even have a Thompson level PJ and maybe even Isaiah at this point. We are in a strange place. It is going to be a weird team. And as much as I like Braden Smith as a prospect, never thought 30 minutes a night Braden Smith was going to be. If we're good, it's going to be because he can play 30 minutes a night.
Yeah. And I just.
Like, really good.
As I've said numerous times, I can't imagine a freshman point guard coming in and playing that much.
He's coming in with foot problems.
Yes.
He is currently recovering. From a foot surgery.
Yeah, but he should be fine by the time the season rolls around.
Ledman, feet are complicated.
I understand that.
I don't, it's, I don't feel good.
No. I mean, so Braden Smith, for those who don't know, I mean, we've mentioned him quite a bit on this podcast just because, again, he finds himself in a situation that I don't think he believed he was going to be in coming in to Purdue. Braden Smith out of Westfield. Listed according to Rivals at 6'1", 165, a 3-star recruit, not nationally ranked.
What do they
Rivals.
Have him listed at?
Braden Smith.
Six foot 165. 247 is 5'10".
Well, so I would guess 5'10", probably closer to the mark.
He's not tall at all.
So, you know, the other schools of interest it shows under this are Appalachian State, Belmont, and IU.
Yeah, like I think he'll be a good player. In time, not like, oh, that's a Big Ten guard right away. Like, just, he's 194th nationally. We've hit on those before.
Oh, plenty. Yeah, I mean, I think you can't sit here and say he's not going to be good because he's not nationally ranked when you look at, like, oh, well, if he was only 150th instead of 194, you'd feel better about it. Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And so many of these rating systems, I think, just when you get down below the top 25,
right,
a lot of it really is a crapshoot. And when you saw a player, how many times you saw him, and whether you want to admit it or not, a lot of it is influenced by the coaches who actually make offers to these guys. So if somebody gets an offer from Coach K, suddenly they get a second look by these recruiting services and they jump up in the rankings. And then suddenly this guy who was in the 90s is now in the 30s. It's always seemed a bit strange to me. You know, I obviously don't do it for a living, so I'm sure there's a lot more to it, but it's always seemed a bit fishy to me.
Yeah, I mean, but like physicality and size are physicality and size.
Yes.
That's just a thing. And if you're 5'10", 165, how many senior? I mean, Isaiah Thompson left because those are his measurables.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say.
Maybe even smaller than that, but.
As a guy who's 5'6", and he's listed at 165, that's not much bigger than I am, you know, if he truly is 6 foot according to Rivals, which I don't think you or I believe.
Nope.
That's 6 extra inches and maybe 15 to 20 more pounds, and that's not a lot, not a lot. So
worried.
Yeah.
Worried.
I worry about him holding up to a Big Ten schedule, especially once it gets a little bit more, let's just say, Big Ten style. You know, he's going to get beat up. He's going to run into some screens, and I want to make sure this guy can play and stay healthy. So, I mean, you mentioned this guy from Utah. Do we know? I mean,
I have to imagine we are calling everyone. If you have a guard listed next to your name and you're in the portal. And he's 6'2", that's huge.
Yeah.
That's gigantic.
I mean, you got to think Painter's phone is getting a lot of use here in these last couple weeks.
We're going to have the weirdest freaking offense in the world.
Yeah, I mean, well.
Just big. Just let's run out Gillis, Edie, let's go ahead and play, why am I blanking? First. Let's play all three of them together. We'll put Morton and Newman out there. No point guards. Just big length everywhere.
I agree.
Just crash the glass, get back, it'll be fine.
It's like when you're trying to build, you do your own NBA team.
Oh, no. Newman needs a break. We'll bring in Berg.
Oh,
let's go quadruple towers.
Yeah.
Every big dude.
A 7'1", 270-pound Swede.
Yep, with a 6'6 point guard and Ethan Morton. That'll be great.
Yeah, I think there should be no problems with that lineup. No notes. It's going to be absolutely perfect. But I mean, it's interesting because, as you said, the 2023 class, currently two commitments, Miles Colvin and Draven Gibbs Lawhorn, who I think
are two of the best recruits Painter has ever had.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, if we could flip when these guys are coming in, that'd be great. But, you know, for now, I think.
Yeah. So I think we have to say it. Fletcher Lawyer might be the answer.
Okay.
Not a natural point guard. He's definitely more of a scoring guard, but he has been in every big AAU circuit. He has gone up against the best recruits in the country. He is a legitimate 4-star.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, his brother played at Michigan State previously before transferring elsewhere.
And Fletcher Lawyer is much better than
him. Much better than his brother, from everything we've seen. So.
So if you're telling me that's the backup plan, it probably honestly is. So could you tell me Lawyer and Morton together make a point guard? I would buy that.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, I think
really, really good.
Yeah, and he's much bigger. I mean, he's listed at 6'5", but still listed at 165 according to Rivals. So we gotta hope there's.
I got 6'3" here at 247.
So they've been 2 inches off each time. So maybe it's just literally add an inch on 247 and take one off on Rivals. So maybe he's 6'4".
Yeah, but he's a legitimate dude. And he's got really good footwork, pretty decent handle, and like I said, he's gone shot to shot with some of the best recruits in the country. So if you're just talking about playing two guys that can handle the ball, he's probably going to be in that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Painter's going to have to do some different things at the point guard position than what he intended as he, you know, built this team in his head a couple years ago as he's recruiting these guys. Everybody except Berg, who, of course, was recruited more recently. But, you know, he's a 7'1" Swede anyway, so he wasn't playing a part in the point guard discussion. But, you know, Purdue is going to have an interesting squad next year. They're going to roll out probably some combinations we didn't think we'd see. But I do think there's going to be a lot of talent. The forward position, I think, is going to be really good. The center position is obviously locked down with Zach Edey. And I'll be interested to see what Berg does. Obviously, we've not seen him play very much. But I think, again, if this team could find a serviceable point guard, they could be pretty good next year. And we've still got, you know, Hail Marys in the transfer portal. As I said earlier, you know,
there's
John
no Hail Marys. It's hook and ladders at this point.
Well, John Octius committed in October, you know, just before the season started. So maybe this guy from Utah is going to, you know, taste caffeine for the first time and come out and play for Purdue. So stranger things have happened, but at this point, we're pretty pessimistic about anybody joining the men's basketball team for next season. So, Casey, do you have any other names you want to throw out? Anybody on your list of 75-plus players?
Burn the list.
All right, burn the list. Call that guy from Utah. If we got any listeners in Utah, maybe go knock on some doors, find out where this guy lives, throw him some Purdue merch or something. So hopefully we can maybe pick up this guy. But other than that, I think we're kind of going to run with the team we've got. So that's it for us this week. We'll record again in the middle of the week, and we're going to get back to our series looking at the roster from this previous season and do a recap and look ahead. So thanks for listening.
Wear your jerseys.
Where's your jerseys?
Wear your jerseys, but not with a loose t-shirt underneath.
Exactly, because no one will respect your game.
Boiler.